Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. We got the outlaw, Chris Moneymaker Marler, back on the show for some reason. How are you, buddy?
It's good. Good to be here.
Are you in jail or something?
No. Whatever. There's just people that are upset about some things that were said and jokes that were made.
People are mad at you once again, huh? That, you know, if it happens every week, Chris, I mean, at some point you got to realize maybe you're the problem.
Totally, Mike. Totally. I will get off the show if we get into this today.
I don't even know what you're talking about, but I just assume you did something wrong.
No, I didn't. Is it the thing? I made like a very simple joke. What's up, Liquid Flames? And
well, let me ask you this, because this is totally off subject, but this is more what I wanted to talk about. Shout out this guy. I've never heard of him. Maybe you have. Connor Eargood. I hope I'm saying that right. He covers Michigan State, I believe, for the Detroit News. What are we laughing at now?
Joey Freeman.
Joey Freeman. I'd rather shave Shane's butt than listen to this guy cry and cuss. Okay, yeah. I mean, I think that's 100% on brand. But real quick, back to Connor. Just for you, Marler.
Oh, boy.
Today's AP Bowl poll is out. So he's a voter, right, in the college
basketball yeah.
rankings. He says, I did not rank Alabama this week. I will not rank a team that has to circumvent the rules through a court just to win and still lost. To me, that's a team admitting its own weakness. Your reaction?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I thought it was a pretty bad I wouldn't have had them ranked. One, I don't know if they deserve to be ranked. I think they can be one of the top 25 teams. I don't know what the hell is going on in practice there every week where something happens where they had a full week off last week, Mike, and they still had two starters out and four players out for the Tennessee game, which is almost impossible to do. The Betty Aka thing is gross. The whole thing, I hate all of it. And I understand where Nate Oates is coming from to a degree where he says, hey, if it's happening everywhere else and this is all happening here, like they brought the guy from Baylor came in and there's around the league, there's multiple guys from around the league and multiple teams, not just Alabama, that has a former professional playing on their roster. Everyone but Bama has a former professional that is from the G League that went from like overseas. Not, hey, I'm at Alabama. I am leaving early to go pro. I am going to go then play in pro games for 2+ years. And then I'm going to come back to the same school. And part of me is like, well, maybe it's nice that they did it to the same school, like at least. But like at the same, for the most part, it's like, no, I hate this. Like I hate this whole thing because like looking at it from a standpoint of we've been told for years and years and years, if you go pro, you're done from an eligibility standpoint. And that's what's fair. Like that's the way we've always done it. That's the way it should be. And he comes back and is now playing at, what do you call it, Alabama this past week. It wasn't like he played like last year, but if it had an injury, he played for the Motor City Express or Motor City Cruise the Saturday before. Like, it's insane. It's insane. And so the whole thing, I think, is pretty gross, and I just didn't really like it. I thought it was really, really, really bad. I knew he was going to play him. There's just no way to, there's no optics on that are positive if you're Alabama. It's like, if you win, of course you're supposed to win. If you lose, well, now you lost a professional player on your team. And I thought the whole thing was bad. And the funniest part too, Mike, is you could see it coming a mile away. Like, no one has played Alabama in basketball better than Tennessee. They had won 4 straight against them. It's an Alabama team that has averaged over 90 points per game in each of the last 3 years. They led the nation in scoring in 2 years. The two previous years, they're second in the country going into Saturday. They've never scored more than 76 points against Tennessee. And that trend continued, and they lost again at home, again to Tennessee, and they deserve to.
Well, it's fascinating to me. I guess you didn't hear Nate Oates, and I think the AD too. They said, hey, he's a hell of a guy. He wants to continue his academic career. Who are we to stand in the way?
I mean, sure. I bet he is a hell of a guy. I bet he is. But if we're going to sit here and hide behind the fact that, oh, he's a student athlete that wants to get his degree, I mean, like, come on. Like, I mean, like, dude, there are bad choices that people make all the time, and wrong choices you make professionally, you make as a kid, especially at this age. Like, I fully get it. I got a fucking tattoo I got to live with forever. I hate it. But, like, if you are sitting here and you're going pro, and then you're like, oh, it didn't really work, does he get to re-enlist in, like, the draft? Does he get to go pro again? Because that also seems stupid.
Well, yeah, that's one question, and I don't know that you have the answer. I don't know that anybody has the answer to this.
Louise, that's good.
What happens if he goes back to the G League, say, like next week? Is he eligible for Alabama the week thereafter?
I don't know.
Can he just go back and forth?
I don't know the rules to any of this anymore, because all of it seems so weird, and all of it seems so dumb, because it is dumb. And that's what's really frustrating, is it's like we are making it up. We are making it up as we go. And for the most part, it's wrong. I think that the other part
is your tattoo tribal, says Jeez Louise.
Yeah, dog. One of the things I think too that's so frustrating is like bringing up the academics part is all stupid, because if you're truly trying to get kids to graduate, that's great. That's never been the case for college basketball. It is also very weird to me that like college football, we make fun of all the time for the NIL stuff and how corrupt it is and all that kind of crap. Nothing has been more corrupt besides our government than fucking college basketball in the last however many years. Like it's a joke. It always has been a joke. And like since like the 80s, it's been a joke. And you look at programs like Kansas, who just fucking blatantly cheats all the time. And it's never been an issue. I think it's, if you're going to hear some like moral high ground from people like Dickie V and other people that are in this like whole blue blood setting where you need to save the people that have been in it forever. That part is also a no for me. Like that part is stupid for me. But I do think also that this is the whole, we've lost the plot. Like the whole thing is real bad.
Well, speaking of lost the plot, cousin Shane, shout out him. He's chiming in. He's acting like he cares about us. Oh, he sent me this photo an hour ago of him drinking. Looks like it's beautiful weather. He is in Orlando getting housed at old Disney.
What the fuck just happened?
I figured you whipped it out and you just wanted to do it off camera, which I did appreciate.
No, I've somehow lost my camera though, which is cool because it's just plugged in. That's nice.
Or perhaps you were showing your tribal,
yeah,
tramp stamp tattoos. What I was.
Look, there's a ghost. You look here.
You look better.
I would rather just do it this way. I would rather do it this way.
There you go.
People are.
Hey, so does Alabama just suck? Because I've always respected Nate Oates as an elite coach. Is it the roster? What's going on? Why are they not very good this year?
There's no one that's been more banged up than Alabama this year. Over under on if I have my nips pierced, I guess the over under would be set at 2, right? I only have 2 of them. Marla doesn't too much. Thank you. Vols Talk Show.
What's worse, though, Marler? Having them both pierced or just one?
I think the one is way weirder. You could make the case that having just the third would be weirder than having just the one. No, I think – so the thing with Bama for basketball right now is that they are – like they're a very good team. They've got some really, really good players. They also are in this weird – scenario where they are constantly fucking injured, and they have been all year. We talk about last year's unit, how they go to the Elite Eight, and it's like, well, if they had Latrell Wright, so maybe they are able to go a little bit further. They win more games in the regular season. Like they were without him for most of the year. He's missed several games. He was back for Saturday. Aiden Holloway's missed several games. I don't know how effective he would have been in this game, just because that's a very physical defense that Tennessee plays, and he's not super great with physicality. You know, like, but I also think that maybe it probably makes up for some of the points you're losing, and to have two starters out, him and Allen, that is a pretty big, pretty big hill to climb for them. But it's been all season. Like it's been, they have not had an injury report come out with less than 3 names on it since they started SEC play. It's just crazy.
Well, how about Auburn going on the road, beating Florida, biggest win of the Stephen Pearl era?
Hold on. B. McIver just said, don't get hit by your ring light. Yesterday, on yesterday's show for Locked On Gamecocks, in the middle of recording, the ring light fell off and hit me in the face during the entire thing. Have I accepted Lane Kiffin as my Lord and Savior? What is going on? No, what is happening? No, so I thought that was awesome.
Fair question.
That was awesome for Auburn. Really, I can't believe we're talking basketball. This is great. It was a huge win. First one in 30 years. What's crazier about that is you think about how good Auburn's been recently. Florida has been awesome for decades, but I mean, it's not just they hadn't beaten them there in 30 years. They also were like 27-6 against Auburn since that game. So a massive win. I think Bruce or Stephen Pearl said earlier today on Next Run Live, he said that this it was a bigger win than even last year's 1-2 with Alabama Auburn in Coleman, which I had to go to. And the reason why was because they had, you know, they were expected to win that game. I think they were favored in this game. You know, they were, I think, an 11.5-point underdog. So that was, it was good to see. I mean, they came out early and they jumped on them pretty quick. There was, dude, there was some, I honestly, I don't care how this sounds. I like basketball Saturdays, not as much as college football Saturdays by any means, but they're more enjoyable to me at times because there's just so much less on the table. Like it sucks if your team loses, but you also are sitting there kind of playing with house money, knowing that if you don't, if you lose, that the season's not over. You still have the SEC tournament. You still have the NCAA tournament. And even if you're one of the worst in the league, like South Carolina was last year, you have a chance to maybe make a dent in that. So I think that's pretty, pretty great.
Yeah. Again, I'm a novice to basketball. I just start watching it when football's over, basically. Yeah. But it seems like here lately, there's just not a huge separation between the teams at the top and the teams at the bottom. Now there's usually maybe an outlier or two at the very bottom and very top, but everyone else, it seems like they can all beat one another, and it always seems like there's like two or three or even four really good games every Saturday.
The SEC is down this year. Last year was a dream, man. Last year was, you had 14 teams to go to the tournament, but every single week you had multiple games against ranked opponents because you had basically nine or 10 in there every single week that were ranked in the AP top 25. And it was a lot of fun because it was just like, you know, like what would you look at this week's games like that we just saw versus last year. Last year, Tennessee and Bama were both ranked number one at one point. Florida, you know, that and they played each other. They were both in the top 10 for most of the season. That's what we saw this past weekend. Florida and Auburn was played this past weekend. Florida and Auburn both played each other in the Final Four last year, right? I think Texas had Georgia. Both those guys were tournament teams. And that's a fun one because it's a game that where those two were kind of like playing for the tournament life late in the season last year. So it's not as fun as it was a year ago, but it's still, you saw it in the Missouri-Oklahoma game, two teams that are unranked that might not, you know, I'm not sure if both are going to make the tournament or either at this point. I think there's like only nine teams that are projected to make it. I think Mizzou would be one of them, but Mizzou hitting a buzzer beater to force overtime, then hitting another buzzer beater in overtime to win. Like that just shows that God hates Oklahoma and doesn't want them to win at anything. And so if that's a joke, don't fucking clip that. But it's been a lot of fun. I think this year, and even in some of the teams, Mike, that I'm going to be hard pressed to tune in for a fucking Mississippi State game, but it's worth it to watch Josh Hubbard. Ole Miss is a team that hasn't had a ton of momentum that they've been able to consistently have so far this year, but they had a big win on the road against Georgia. That's a team that went to the Sweet 16 a year ago. I think Chris Beard has done a great job with them on the court. Dia, however you say his name, he's a really, really fun player to watch in the front court. Like there's really good players everywhere. And so it's only going to get better once we get into February.
Hey, let me ask you this, old Jack, at least I know how you love these Texas fans, Marlon.
There we go. There it is.
Don't worry about your conference loyalist. Texas will win it all for you next year. I assume we're talking football because they don't do basketball in Texas anymore.
I'm going to have to say something. I'm just going to say it once and I'm not going to say it again. In regards to the Ole Miss thing, no part of me said anything of any sort of seriousness about the town, about the people that live there, or the severity of what happened. I said a very simple thing about Lane Kiffin and the constant comments that have been made about him regarding everything involving Ole Miss. No part of me said anything about the elderly and all that other shit. So, of course, like with anywhere that's going through tough weather and power outages and all those other things, I hope everyone is fine. Said it last week. Said it yesterday on my show. Like, be safe. Be good to each other. Like I always say. But if we're going to sit here and clutch pearls over something that wasn't fucking said just because you're choosing to be mad about something that is involving not even just you, the entire Southeast, that's the most entertaining I'm going to do of that for the rest of the fucking show. And as well as on Twitter and anywhere else. Like, Fucking grow up, man. Grow the fuck up.
Sounds like that guy needs beer. Number Hell six, yeah, like dog. Shane. He needs to catch up to Shane. Marler, oh, I did the hot seat yesterday. I'm putting your ass on the hot seat now. So, hey, let me ask you that. I did pot seat rankings. Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, how did you? What is? I can't one read this.
I can read it pretty clearly. But basically, there is no zero. Everybody is a game or two away from the hot seat, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Five is a, you know, you could get fired any day now.
Yeah.
I got Beamer and Levy at fours. Those are the only fours I have. I got Sarkisian, Heupel, and I got DeBoer at three, which means I don't think either one, any of those guys is technically on the hot seat. I think they can coach their way off it. I think they can coach their way onto it. And then twos, I got Golish and Drink. Everybody else is at a one. But thanks in large part to six new hires.
Yeah.
Biggest issues with any of these.
This is the worst graphic you've ever made. This one takes the cake. There's just so much happening.
Hell yeah.
I don't think I'm trying to go through it. Yeah, no, that's oh wow, just got a lobster roll. Let's fucking go, FCC cousin Shane. I'm trying to go through it. I don't think you're wrong necessarily. That's interesting with Golish at two, because everyone else obviously that's new is at one. I didn't know that about Levy.
My opinion is Auburn, you can never be at a one unless you just won the Iron Bowl and the portal people are already kind of pissed.
That's fair. I think what's interesting about it too is the way the numbers are set up are it's interesting. I don't think Venables is at a one, by the way. I think it's interesting because like I didn't think that about Heupel necessarily, but you also think about like if they have one loss and then where it goes from there, what is that going to look like? Are you going to have the heat turned up? And I'll give you two doomsday scenarios that I don't think are going to happen. If Kalen DeBoer loses early on to Florida State again, that's going to be really bad. If you go into the month of October and they somehow have one to two losses, that's going to be very tough for Alabama to overcome because you're going to have a new starter quarterback again. I think Bama's going to be better than people think next year. I also think they're going to be very, very young. You're going to have seven scholarship seniors on there. The other one I think too.
Wait, real quick. And I know you saw this because you reacted to it. The SEC is cheating again though to give Bama an easy schedule.
I'm going to actually get canceled if I respond the way I want to respond to that because it is insane to me. It is insane to me that somebody could look like if that is not the most I haven't started fucking watching college football until 12 minutes ago tweet I've ever seen. They might go 8-4 next year. And I think then you start having the conversations. That's good. You start having the conversations that like, okay, well, should he stay? Should he go? Like, where do you go from there? Beamer is definitely on the hot seat. I love what he's done this offseason. I really, outside of Pete Golding, I don't know if anyone has won the offseason more than Shane Beamer. I'm not comparing those two because, one, anything I say about Ole Miss clearly gets taken so far out of context. It's unbelievable. But also because Golding's already got – dude, he's kind of – it's not like the hay is in the barn, but he is playing with a little bit of house money in year one. If he beats Lane Kiffin, the amount of goodwill that will give him
He might get a contract extension.
I was just going to say it.
3 weeks.
He might get a contract extension. So I think that could be a thing. I think, honestly, what's going to be interesting with that is, too, is like, I hope this doesn't happen at Ole Miss. It happens a lot in the SEC in general. I hope it doesn't happen there. This could be a step back for a year for Ole Miss, but not because they're not going to be any good. I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the entire conference. And that looks like, from what we've known this year, a top 15 team. Like all these things that would always have been for decades, that's a great season. But because they went to the fucking college football playoff semifinals last year, it like not getting there would be, you know, inherently taking a step back. I think that what they cannot do there is become prisoners of comparison and comparing themselves to whatever's happening at LSU. Separate program, like that's you want to win the breakup. Obviously, we've talked about that. You want to beat Lane Kiffin, you get him at home, there's no doubt in my mind that Trinidad Chambliss is going to be back for another season. Good. I think it's great for college football that he is. I love Kevon Lacy. He's worth every fucking penny they spent on him in the portal. Like, and they also, in retention, and they also did a great job in the portal. So I think what I don't want to see there specifically is, please do not like suffer by comparison and comparing yourself like, well, we're not doing what LSU is doing, or we're not doing what Georgia's doing, or Alabama, or even if that is like, if it's a positive, like set the standard for the standard should be for Ole Miss in year one with Golding, and then go forward. I think the only other one that would surprise me on that hot list thing was Heupel, because I don't know, like the blueprint for Heupel this year, I think it's further along than people think. Like you need a quarterback to put in there that's going to be able to be like really good. I think you're going to be able to be in a situation where you have the number one receiver in the country coming in from Tristan Keyes out of high school. You have Mike Matthews, a former five-star, is going into year three. You've got other guys around them. You have a five-star offensive lineman coming in from this year's class. You also have the top overall offensive lineman that was a day one starter once he finally got healthy. David Sanders Jr. back. Like, they could anchor both tackle positions, maybe. I love what Tennessee has. And on top of all that, like, they have a really, really elite defensive coordinator. And you went out and got the best defender, arguably the best defender in the entire transfer portal, one of the top five players overall. And here's what I always say. Tennessee has led the country in scoring, led the SEC in scoring, it seems like, or they're at least in the top 3 to 5 of the conference every year since Heupel's been there. They seem pretty good for 40 any day they're not playing Kirby Smart. Can they make sure they don't give up more than 20? Because Jim Knowles' defense should be able to make that happen every week. And if they can score more than 20, you could make the case that they would be in contention to win every single game they play because of how good the offense is. And so Heupel, I don't know if him being on the hot seat, I was hoping that it would be like kind of a secret, like Tennessee could be sneaky good, but it seems like you've already caught on to it. And so maybe if he does underperform, maybe he would be on the hot seat. I don't know.
Well, I'm also caught on to all this Tennessee love that you're giving all season. I think you're trying to sucker them.
Yeah.
Into thinking they're going to be really good this year. But hey, everything you said is true. And I didn't hear you mention also they went and stole Indiana's strength coach, which I think that's pretty big, right? He's obviously, they just won the national championship. Yep. And then prior to that, he was at JMU and helped them revitalize that as well. But point being, Chris, they are spending an insane amount of money to upgrade Heupel's staff and to give them the resources to win. So what happens when you do that? You have to deliver results.
No, I agree. And I think with Tennessee, I wouldn't confuse the lack of like splashy gets from the portal as a lack of productivity or a lack of moving forward and progressing in the offseason. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Because again, we've said it before. You said it with Carolina, it applies to all these teams. Retention is bigger than anything.
Yeah, I agree.
And the fact that Tennessee didn't have, they did lose players, but they didn't lose a ton of key young talent, right? And that, again, if you're just unaware of it, that means they've re-signed all those guys to contracts.
Right. Agreed. And that's what South Carolina did as well. And then like, now I do think, again, that's what I said. That's what, one of the reasons I think that outside of Pete Golding, I don't know if anybody won the offseason more than, I mean, you could probably say LSU a little bit. But what Shane Beamer did and the retention they had there from all of their good players on top of going to get Jacarius Peak, I think that'd be great. I think it's gonna be interesting next year because I think that the one misconception that people had this year was like outside the SEC, that you heard the whole thing about like, well, why are there five teams from the SEC getting in? And you're like who should have made it besides them? You can't say Iowa. They were 8-4. Like BYU, sure. Notre Dame, I would agree with that. But the way that they made the stupid fucking rules, which for the most part benefited everyone but the SEC a year ago, like I don't know how you make the argument like who deserved to be out. You had a bunch of 10-2 and 11-1 teams that had really good seasons at a Power Four conference. We did the same shit a year before that with Indiana. But I think the big thing was it was pretty obvious to anybody that watched like the sport this year, especially around the SEC. That there were teams like Ole Miss that were going to be able to if they were on offense, they were going to be able to compete with anybody up until maybe Indiana, who was obviously very, very good. But they did, you know, like you saw Miami went toe to toe with Indiana and Ole Miss was leading them with fucking 15 seconds to go or whatever it was. So like, but like Georgia, it felt like that maybe they were coming on late and we were excited about what happened in Atlanta with the win over Alabama. But like the week before that, they struggled with Georgia Tech in that same building. And so there was, I didn't feel like there were any dominant teams in the SEC. Next year, I think there's going to be several elite teams in the SEC. I hate to say it. I think Texas is going to be really good. I'm never going to be like one that's going to not be in on Georgia whenever Kirby Smart is the head coach. I've told you how I feel about Tennessee being a sleepy good team or sleeper good team. I think LSU is going to be very good. I think Ole Miss is going to be very good. Look, I think that you're going to see the same number of teams that are able to compete for a playoff spot, but I think all for the most part, they're all going to be way better than the ones we saw this year. It seemed like everyone that we saw this year had a flaw. Like they had a very noticeable flaw. Ole Miss's defense was not anywhere capable or anywhere near where we've seen them in the past or the year before, especially on the defensive line. Bama, I don't know if you knew this or not, Mike, they didn't have a running back or a run game or anything. That was a pretty big issue. There were some other flaws for Bama too, but I think you're going to see more complete teams around the league next year.
So who would you say is on the hottest seat in the SEC? Is it Beamer?
No, I mean, yeah, it's Beamer. No, you hang up first. That's pretty fucking good. I think it's Beamer because he's the one that we know the most about. And also because you just fired six coaches. Like, so yeah. It's one out of 10. And I think he's the one that's on the shortest leash, which is like, you know, I think that's fair. And maybe you're right. Maybe I don't. Why would Lebby be on that list as well?
Lebby, because have you seen him coach?
Is it not good? He had some pretty tough losses this year.
I mean, he's a really good offensive coordinator. I think he's a really good quarterbacks coach. But the rest of it, I question seriously, you know, basically how committed they are to football in Starkville. You know, this is, again, you can laugh off Mississippi State, but they are not to be laughed off, in my opinion. We have seen them for years and years be a competitive football team in this conference.
Yeah.
And they haven't been in years.
I hate it because it does feel like they have – they're just a program that has probably a pretty I hate to say this because it rubs people wrong so much. And my thoughts on ICE are – no, I'm kidding. That's a joke. I'm not having any fucking comments on ICE forever.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you have any idea who the other option when they hired Lebby could have been? Like a guy they interviewed and –
Don't say Cincinnati.
I don't know if it was one over the other, but they did interview him.
You told me this a while back. I forgot who it was.
Kurt Cignetti.
God damn it. That's tough.
And I mean, again, you could mock Mississippi State, right?
Yeah.
Indiana was infinitely shittier than I think anybody short of Vanderbilt has ever been in this conference.
I think what's funny too is that like the Indiana thing I think is so good for college football. And the people that like I've seen a couple takes that are pretty lazy takes from people that don't really care about the sport, they just tune in late in the year that are like, this isn't Indiana, it's mercenaries, and they bought their roster. And it's like, no, they didn't. I mean, like Texas Tech did, Oregon did, Texas did, like there's a lot of teams that did. This wasn't that. I don't know. I saw somebody say this earlier, like, who would be the Indiana of the SEC? That's a really good question. I think the obvious answer is Kentucky, just because what we've talked about with what they've gotten out of the portal so far. But I don't know if there really is an answer because the thing with Indiana and not a lot of SEC schools outside of Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's already been relevant for the last 2 years, just not at that level. The thing about that school is that it's been the worst program in college football forever. Like they did what we all do, which is, hey, we're going to go play NCAA football like I used to do on my fucking computer because I'm old as shit and get the CD-ROM version of NCAA 98 with Danny Werfel on the cover and be like, who's the worst? I'm going to go play in Idaho. They have a dome. And then take them to a national championship. So what the fuck was that? Also, I think what this person says, Mimi Zauzwal, I think, what did you just do? Did you pull up the CD-ROM?
I thought I had it, but I do have 99 here.
That's, see, I had the year before. That's sick. Also, we look fucking, we look like fucking losers right now. You just thumbing through CDs in the background with those headphones and that beanie.
How about this? How about this?
He said squirrel.
96.
Whoa, what's that for?
Before they even called it NCAA.
College Football USA. Who's on the cover?
This, I mean, it was just a generic, I think it was a generic guy.
Oh.
Well, maybe not. Number one, Kansas State.
In 96?
I bought this for $2 a couple years ago. I found it at a arcade.
Nice. Well, anyway, I don't think you should be hanging out at arcades, for one. Two.
Hell yeah, I'm there every Saturday.
I think that somebody made a good point. The SEC doesn't have a Cignetti. I mean, you could make the case, obviously, for Kirby Smart. Like, and I think the other part of it, too, is we're just not going to see these years where you have you have like a decade run where you're just fucking dominant forever. There are going to be teams like in every other sport that has this similar model. Like there are going to be years when you do not make the playoff and you go 8-4 because Texas spent a fuck ton of money and went 11-1. And Georgia is still got Kirby Smart, or Auburn has a great run, or like A&M, or what the fuck ever. And you have a good team, but you are now going to play 9 conference games every year, and you're going to see just a little bit of a drop off, I think. But I do think in year one of this 9 game schedule, there are going to be a lot better SEC teams than you saw this year. I think you're just going to have more complete teams. That just every team we saw last year had at least one fatal flaw. I don't think you're going to have, if we're being honest, Mike, I think from a team standpoint, I think this is probably one of the years where you're probably down was this year, even though you got 5 teams in. You had some good teams, but like if Oklahoma had a quarterback, they could have probably made the fucking championship game. Like, and John Mateer, he was the Heisman front runner at one point. So, you know, and what does Tennessee look like if they don't lose that game to Georgia? Early on in the season, there's a lot. This lady seems angry.
I think I can answer the question. I don't think it fits the mold well, but if there is the SEC's version of an Indiana, you know who it is?
What?
The team you cover, LSU. How about that,
buddy? I don't
know
if that's the case because LSU's been good.
Right, but not last year.
Text old baby.
Right? So... you come in here, new coach, and of course, raiding the portal. Just landed Jordan Seaton.
That was wild.
And you've already been calling LSU one of the more talented rosters, maybe in school history. And that was before they added an elite offensive tackle. Yeah. What's the expectation? I mean, it's playoff or bust, right?
Yeah. No, I think.
Is that too much? Playoff or bust?
No, I think it's exactly where they should be. I think it's exactly where they should be. You want to talk about what Boy and his dog said?
Huh.
I think that's exactly a fair assessment of where like the what do you call it should be. Like
expectations
should be in the playoff, and I don't think they should be under that. Like if you didn't land Seton and you didn't land the kid from Ole Miss whose name I can't pronounce or spell, like that kid Moscona told me what it was the other day, and I can't remember what it is now. But like, if you don't land either one of them, you still have an incredible portal haul, and you still have a good enough team that you think you should make. Like, you should be in contention for the playoff in year one. I've talked to some people around here that think that if they're being bottom out of a White Claw, it's a fucking Celsius, dick. And who cares if I was drinking a White Claw? If you had a White Claw, they're delicious. They're delicious.
Wait, let me ask you this though, because hey, you mentioned Moscona.
Yeah.
I've seen him say this just months
coach.
Ago.
It was a year and a half ago.
No, it was not that long ago. It was leading up to the season we just had. And he said, Lane Kiffin is not a good coach.
Mm.
And the guy has not won anything. He didn't say that, but I'm adding it because that's the main criticism we hear of Kiffin, which is accurate. Yeah.
He was pretty good coach this year, I think, right? Pretty good coach. He went 9-3 and he fell flat on his face against Florida. Should never have lost to Kentucky. I don't know how they do that. They did beat Georgia. Did beat
Penn State. We know how he lost to Kentucky.
What?
You don't know how he lost to Kentucky?
No, I forgot.
He allegedly.
Oh no.
Now I've heard this from many, many, many people. So allegedly, all, but again, allegedly, apparently he was distraught over
a breakup,
his relationship with the not a child, but she was like 20.
Anyway, all right, something. Moving on from this, I'm not going to wait on that. I'll tell you about LSU's playoff hopes this year. I think anytime that you go into the portal and you sign three of the top 4 to 5 players overall, like overall, clowned on his head. Wow, I'm so confusing. Or so confused. Oh yeah, there you go. I think it is. It's completely unrealistic to say that they shouldn't. The expectation should be they are making the fucking playoff. Like, that should not be anywhere short of that. I don't want to hear about the schedule. I don't. You just spent how much do you think, Mike? Probably $40 million in the portal.
Yeah, well, I was going to say 35, but yeah, 40, that's probably more realistic.
And so, because everybody's getting something, and you brought in 40 of them. And so, like...
And keep in mind, there's a 20-something million dollar cap.
Right. I don't think that they're beating... They paid Seton 6.5 or whatever the ridiculous state was. I can tell you, I do not think that's real. I do think they paid over 5 for Sam Levitt, which was what he was asking for everywhere. I do think...
Let me ask you this, though. And I don't know that you have an answer, because I don't know that anybody has an answer. But I would imagine this is being asked at some point down there in Baton Rouge. What happens if these contracts are not approved?
Dude, that's the other thing too. Like they have to ask that everywhere. Like I don't know. Well, I'm assuming what you'll see is the same bullshit you saw with Alabama and Bediako. Like, and this is going to be taken the wrong way because of the last 24 hours. But it's probably the same thing you'll see with the Trinidad Chambliss thing, where like they're just going to circumvent the system and say we're going to sue, we're going to get a temporary restraining order, blah blah blah, and then go from there. And I don't like that's just me speculating and making an assumption, but yeah. Like it's also making the assumption. The assumption is not based in this is exactly what they should do. This is what I think is best for the game or what. The program should do. It is purely based off of one thing and one thing only, and it's fucking exhaustion. It is what we have seen over and over. There are no rules. Who cares? And it's like, this fucking sucks. So I think that if LSU, if they don't get these things approved, I will tell you this, it will not just be LSU that's not getting them approved. So
hey, this is the meanest thing anyone's ever said to anyone song. On this show.
Great song.
Marler jams the Applebee song with the windows down.
No, I think that for LSU though with the playoff, the one pushback I've heard on this is, well, the schedule's just too tough. I mean, they got Clemson coming to town, dude. In the month of November, they get Texas and Bama back to back, and then you got to go to Tennessee. That Auburn game might be tricky on the road. Blah blah blah. You get A&M and Ole Miss back to back. Here's the deal.
Leave
this up for a second. Is Clemson going to be better or worse this year than last year?
Probably
and
worse.
And that's saying something. So I think that's a win. They beat Louisiana Tech. Let's not talk about Ole Miss yet. Do you think A&M is going to be better or worse this year versus last year?
Worse.
Agreed. And so I think you're probably going to win that game. McNeese State, that better be a win. Kentucky, I'm just going to assume it's a win. Like, we don't know, but I'm going to assume it's a win. Mississippi State, that's a win. Auburn on the road, I think that's probably a win.
Should win, yeah.
So then you get Bama at home. Is Bama going to be better or worse this year versus last year?
I mean, that's a complete toss-up, but I would say worse.
Right. I don't think they're going to win 11 games. I mean, but so I think you probably win that one. Texas, I can see that as being a loss, but it's at home. It's going to be at night. That's going to be a fucking movie. And it'll be senior night. It's going to be awesome. Arkansas, that's a win. Tennessee and Ole Miss are the ones that I'm like, are the ones I think
that could be a playoff game.
Yeah. Like, I think
LSU, Tennessee.
LSU, Tennessee. And then, and keep in mind, listen, it's going to be tough to go back to back to back, Bama, Texas, Tennessee. And surely Indiana that weekend will have fucking Purdue, Northwestern, and then probably Purdue again, but on a neutral site this time. So I think that with Ole Miss and Tennessee, those two games are going to impact like if they make the playoff the most. sorry, Razor Base. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean
that's going to be Silverfield's best win next totally. Season. You watch.
I mean, we saw with Florida a couple years ago with Billy Napier, so maybe it is true. But I think that even with the schedule And I will say this too. I think if you are 9-3 with LSU, and your losses are to Ole Miss, who's a playoff team, Texas, who's a playoff team, and maybe say A&M or Bama, if they're in the playoff, like that's a tough sell to say that they're not making the playoff that year. Especially if they have wins over everyone else on the schedule. So I think the thing that's most interesting for me with LSU is I'm surprised that the temperature isn't higher in terms of we're winning the fucking national championship and there's nothing else you can tell us, because you went out and got the number one ranked quarterback. You got the number one ranked edge rusher. You got the number one offensive tackle to protect the number one quarterback. You retained Tre'Davious Green, the 6'7" unicorn tight end that would have been a top 10 player in the portal if he entered. And that is from Clark Brooks. A
lot of drops.
That's sure. But also he still would have been a top 10 player. And then okay. I think that you have like Harlan Berry, former five-star, coming back. The offensive line will be interesting. I'm not a believer in the offensive line coach. I saw what he was at Alabama when he was there in 2023. They were awful. But you have talent everywhere. And then I go back to the same thing I said about Tennessee. And it's the same thing I'll say at a lot of these schools is you think about the fucking talent that they have on that side of the ball on defense. Can Blake Baker, who we think is one of the better coordinators in the SEC, he has the SEC leading tackler at linebacker coming back. He has Whit Weeks coming back, also at linebacker. He has the number one edge rusher in the portal to play with. He also has two five-stars coming in that should play right away, Richard Anderson and the other kid from ULAB down here. What's his name? Well, I can't think of his name. Lamar Brown. Those two should probably be on the defensive line right away. Keep in mind that still has Dominic McKinley as a former five-star. And then you think of the secondary. You only lose one guy. AJ Halsey, you return Cooley, you return
pretty good player.
Pretty good player. You go out and get the Boise State.
Just lose one All-American.
You go out and replace him with a top 50 player in the portal for the kid from Boise State who's like a 2-year starter. And so, like, and you also still bring back to Marcus Cooley. You still have Woodlawn at the other side for the cornerback position and DJ Pickett. Like, they're fucking loaded, man. Like, they're loaded. So again, I look at this and say, can you not give up 20 points a game? Because I think the guy who's calling the plays on offense is going to be able to score at least 30, probably more than that. And with all the talent and weapons they have, I think they're going to be a really, really good team.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. How about Ole Miss, though? I haven't asked you. I've been waiting. You said you don't want to talk about Ole Miss. What about all this? Or let's put it this way. Let's talk Clemson and Dabo.
Yeah.
Naming names, turning in Pete Golding, he claims. He says he's got the receipts. Anybody that missed it, hell, I did 20 minutes on it yesterday. So if you missed it, go recap that. But what's your thoughts on Dabo throwing down the gauntlet? Says he's got tampering receipts from, and he specifically called out Pete Golding from Ole Miss.
All right, so this is gonna be a complicated answer just because of the eggshells I'm gonna walk on with this. But Pete Golding, within the rules of college football, I don't know. It feels like there was tampering. There's text receipts of all that. At the same time, Pete Golding is doing what every other coach in the SEC has done with him and his roster. And I think probably was doing so at a time which was more fucking frustrating for him, because they were doing it and tampering to his roster when they were trying to win a fucking national championship and get to the college football playoff championship game. So, like, I think that he knows it's very frustrating to hear, and it's very frustrating to find a way to fix it, because everything is, well, that guy did it. Why are we not going to do it? Everyone does it. So I think that's where he's operating out of, and you really can't blame him. Like, why the hell would Pete Golding try to be some moral compass when every other coach around him is not only doing the same thing, but doing the same thing to his roster? Because, like, that would be really frustrating. So I get that side of it. What I hope comes out of this is this. I don't know if Ole Miss should be penalized for this. I don't think they should, because they would be the very first ones. I say you make this as the example as of moving forward. If this happens, we're done here, and you're going to start getting fucking penalized. Like, I don't think it's necessarily fair to make the example out of Ole Miss. You've already done that if you're the NCAA, by the way, a couple years back, which was like, by all standards and compared to what we have now, pretty egregious. I think, like, what was the O-lineman? Was it Michael Orr who got, like, fucking – not Michael Orr. Laramie Tunsil, they got, like, $800 for his apartment or something, and they were like,
oh, and a mask too, I believe,
and a mask, and a fun cool mask. So I think you've already made an example out of Ole Miss. Like, I don't think the target necessarily needs to be on them. That's my spiel with them. As far as Clemson goes, Dabo Swinney is in the right for what he's doing. He's in the right for what he's doing. I cannot believe I thought Michael Orr was the guy. What an all-time mix-up of names. Terrible. Who was it? Was it Archie Manning? I think what Dabo's doing, I love, because I think it needs to happen at some point. The NCAA needs to have, like, you know, they need to be pulled aside and be like, hey guys, you're kind of fucking up, man. Like, you are supposed to be the ones overseeing this entire sport. What did they do as soon as somebody brought this to them? We need Congress. Yeah, you know what? You know what? The NCAA has been so bad at doing this. We need the fucking federal government to come in, because they're just knocking it out of the park. They're firing on all cylinders right now. So, like, this idea to have like government help or whatever. No, just fix the fucking problem. And if you're Dabo, I think the argument that makes me so frustrated is, I heard this from the Ole Miss side, which is like, well, they didn't sign him to an actual NIL contract. It signed his like financial aid agreement. Well, here's the thing about that too, guys. I get where you're coming from, but at the core of all this, he was enrolled in school. And we know that because he was in an 8 a.m. class when he was sending the messages. So it's like, I don't know which more proof. You were enrolled in classes. Have you seen what Dabo did today? The petty shit from today?
No. Are you talking about the website?
Yeah, you sent it to me. That. You sent it to me. So, and the website goes to, like, I guess the press conference. Like,
anybody that missed it, this linebacker in question, you can, they've left his bio up on the Clemson website, and if you it says his time at Clemson, click here, and it goes straight to Dabo Swinney calling out Pete Golding for 30 minutes.
Yes. It was awesome. and I don't think Dabo is like trying to be like, and Pete Golding needs to pay for this. Like, I don't think that's where this is even coming from. I think it's just like, dude, when does it end? Like when does it? We're sending pictures of $1 million agreements and like offers. Like, that's crazy to me. And so, I think at some point you have to sit here and say, hey, like enough is enough. Like, this is. There has to be rules and there has to be consequences to the rules. Again, I think Pete Golding was operating from the standpoint of everyone's doing it, and I just had it happen to my fucking roster for over a month straight because we were so horribly inconvenienced by being in the fucking playoff. So it's like, I think I get where he's coming from. And also, Pete Golding is a fucking savage and wants to go win football games and is going to build that thing the way he's seen it built under some other coaches. And that's all I'll say about that. Like, I don't think Pete Golding's going to be shied away from, like, if this is a competitive market, you have to be competitive in the market. And that's what he was doing. So I think I get both sides of it. I just wish that there was some agreement that we could all just sit here and say, hey, instead of just like pointing out who's more wrong, why don't we just figure out how to fix it and fucking move forward? Because it is so exhausting trying to figure out, like, is this a rule? Is it not a rule? Is this guy... Who's this guy? I feel Steele, again, I say it, I feel like every week now. I don't know how this guy fucking does it. Like, I don't know how Phil Steele is able to put together a magazine. And I'm going to buy it every year because it's my tradition and we all love it. But, I mean, he could make up name. He could – that entire fucking 500-page book, the Cheesecake Factory preseason magazine that he has, it could be made up names. I'd be like, oh, okay. I didn't know that Dylan Simpson went to Memphis this year. That's crazy.
Apparently he had a racial bad word in the last magazine.
What the hell? God damn.
That's all I'll say about that. But hey, you said a lot. Great question here. I don't even know it. From Brandon. Ooh. Marler, who will be Carolina's starting running back? Will it be the Texas transfer Christian Clark? And if that is the case, Chris, I'll let you speak here. But how nice will it be to cover a South Carolina running back that is eligible?
Fuck you, Mike. That was tough. Well, Soul Phase on, that whole thing was pretty tough. No, I think Clark will get some reps for sure. I think they got some depth there, which is weird because this year they didn't. So I don't think they have anybody on the roster right now that's going to be like Rocket Sanders was, especially one that can catch the ball out of the backfield and also run the football and like be so key. Like, I mean, he was such an underrated piece that they had in 2024. I don't think you have anybody like that. I think Matthew Fuller is the guy that gets the reps for RB1 on day one. Now, Matthew Fuller, if you might remember this, Mike, he's the one that had the 72-yard touchdown run against LSU to go up 7-3 in Death Valley when South Carolina played them. And you'll also probably remember this afterwards, that Mike Shula then didn't give him another fucking touch the rest of the first half. So I think he is going to, I think he's built like a complete back. I really like the Clark kid. And I love the fact that at a time when everyone else in that running back room, especially at Texas, was out entering the portal, they were going to sit out in the Cheez-It Bowl and all that kind of stuff. He viewed it as like, this is going to be my time to shine. I'm going to go make myself some money if I don't want to end up here. And you saw what he was able to do. He ends up going for, gets a pretty good defense. He goes 19 carries for 105 yards and a touchdown and wins the Cheez-It Bowl MVP, which is crazy because it should have been for Arch Manning. But I think that those two are probably going to be the big, and I think those two are the ones that jump out the most to me from like their ability, but you do have some depth there, man. You do have some depth there, which is not something they had before. And what he said too is if the line doesn't improve, it doesn't matter. That's exactly right. Like last year I was so heavy on them going after Justice Haynes in the portal. And now, just as somebody that pulls for Justice Haynes in general, I am very happy he did not go to South Carolina for him, his own sake, because I don't think it would have mattered. Like, I think the offensive line was that bad.
Hey, well, shout out Bo for that great comment. We haven't taught any A&M, I don't think. Any thoughts on them as we get in the offseason? They just signed another really good portal class, but we did kind of say, well, they're going to be worse, but hell, they just went 11-1 in the regular season. So, yeah. I mean, we're just kind of going
think
with
be worse. It's just tough to do that 2 years in a row.
Right. I mean, it's common sense. Can you go back to back 11? It's been done. I'm not saying it's impossible, yeah. But you know, what's your current expectations for A&M?
I mean, I like Mike Elko a lot. I think the thing that I keep going back to with them, Marlo, if you touch your glasses, make the playoff. That's what I'm talking about, B. McIver. I saw the other person say we're going 4-8. I think I really like Elko a lot. I think the coolest thing that he has done with A&M is he's actually made A&M seem pretty cool. Like, we all make fun of the male cheerleaders, and we all make fun of some of the dumb traditions and all that kind of stuff. I mean, most of those cadets, I feel like, it's like the one dude from Reno 911. That's my biggest, that's the energy I get from most of those guys. Dangle. But I also think that new boots, just new boot goofing. I think that it's like watching them, like the entrance into the stadium, coming out to power, coming out to like that whole place, just fucking rocking. Kyle Field looks incredible. Kyle Field feels like, to me, number one on the bucket list for stadiums I haven't been to yet. Like, that looks awesome. Like, it looks just awesome. So I think they'd be really good. I think Marcel Reed, I think he took some steps forward as a passer this year. I hope that he's able to do that in year three. The reason I'm not as high on them is the jump that they made from year one under Elko to year two was very clear in terms of they found out how to win games and they were able to do it throughout the entire season. They also didn't play a super tough schedule in comparison to some of the other years. Just the way that it wasn't their fault. That's just the schedule that was in front of them. But like, you know, Mizzou had a backup quarterback. Obviously, they beat the brakes off of LSU, but that LSU team wasn't as good as we thought. Love the win against Notre Dame. And I think all SEC fans owe them a thank you because it kept them out of the playoff. But like, there were some of those games late too where, like I said, they learned how to win. The South Carolina thing was great. But ending the season the way they did, I'm sure it has a bad taste in their mouth. The thing for me is what made them dynamic last year on offense was you had two really, really good dynamic receivers. And each of them did certain things that the other could do. Also, each of them had their own kind of unique skill set that was like not better than the other one. But like, you know, Craver and Concepcion, they were fantastic. But also only one of them was able to return kicks. That guy's gone. And you saw how big of a deal that was against LSU. You also talk about the fact that, like, I love they went and got Horton. So you do have two good receivers coming back, and you still have Marcel Reed. But Marcel Reed was behind the most experienced offensive line in the country last year. I think they had, like, 193 or 180-something starts combined going into that playoff game against Miami. That's gone. Like, I think that Wilcome Formby can be really good for him out of the portal, the guy they got from Bama, some other guys. But Trevon Baugh, that guy graded out like as like a 16 against LSU for South Carolina last year. I watched Ori Williams a lot when he was at LSU. I don't think that was the biggest miss of him entering the portal if you're an LSU fan. So I think there's going to be some holes up front for them. And then, oh, by the way, the guy that was calling the plays, he's also gone. So that's like I want Mike Elko to be successful. I love the way he coaches his team. I love the way he presents himself. He is fucking all about ball, and that's it. I don't know if it's what it's going to look like from this year to next, because there are some very, very, very key pieces that you had on this year's team that helped them be so successful. They're now gone.
Do you think they would rather go 11-1 with the one loss being to Texas, or 10-2 and get a win over Texas?
10-2 all day.
What about 9-3?
10-2. 9-3 with a win over them.
Texas.
I think they would choose that. And also, I would too if I was them. I would be so sick of hearing Texas, dude. I would be so sick of if I was A&M. So I fully get it. And listen, I see the comment being made here from Bo Molinari. Like they have Craver, they have Bussey. And Bussey was a huge recruit. There's not what is my
more like Busty. I'm kidding. He's all right. But he's just he's a five-star, so that means he's elite. He's not really shown much, has he?
There was a couple of videos last year just the way he looked from year one to year two in that program. And I'm trying to pull this up real quick to make sure I'm not like wrong about this, but he had 18 catches for 195 yards. He averaged less than 11 yards a catch. I don't know. It says he was 5'10", 195. He somehow lost 2 inches, which we've been there. Am I right, guys? He lost 2 inches from his freshman year to then. I'm not one to make fun of anyone gaining weight. He looks thicker in year two versus year one. So
I can't stand it when people are like, well, he was an elite recruit, therefore he's an elite player. Now, going into your first year, totally get it. But once we've seen these guys play for 2 years, we kind of know what they are, don't we?
I would think so. Paying for a bot farm.
Yeah, what's up with that? Are you paying these bots?
What's a bot farm?
They like give you likes and retweets and shit, I think. Or give you subscribers.
No, I don't. The subscriber thing makes no sense to me. I don't understand why that's even an option. I didn't know what a bot farm was, but I might look into it now. So anyway, he was an athlete QB and CB in high school. Well, he's supposed to be a receiver now, and I don't know if he's
he plays none of those
That's
positions.
Cool that he used to do that. I used to run a 5-minute mile, so whoopie fucking do.
What position do you think Arch played in high school? Because I know the answer. It was the same one he's playing now at a high level. You know what?
I think we're so far out from this season anyway, and there's so much to like, I think, from like some of the teams. Maybe I'm just being a prisoner of the moment because we're coming out of the portal, but there's so much reason for optimism. I think it's so many different schools. Kentucky, man, we talked about it last week, so we don't have to necessarily talk about it again. Am I fun of parties?
Let me ask you this, because I've not heard this discussed at all. And this may not be accurate, okay? But with no spring portal, is there a chance that the teams are better in the fall? Because there's more time in the system, there's more continuity together. Could that result in better, deeper teams?
1,000%. I think that was one of the things. He's the one who bums the cigs. I don't know.
Because I'm starting to see teams are releasing spring dates and spring games. I think we're getting spring games back.
Yeah. I think we are too. And I think the other thing too is, whether that'll ever be admitted or not, one of the reasons why you didn't want to do that is because you don't want to put a lot of shit on tape, and you also don't want to have like other people be like, oh my God, this guy balled out during this game and now he's going to leave. I think the thing that Kirby Smart said that made the that made the most sense. See, that this is like, let me shout out High Tide D Fishing, whatever. These are actually funny comments. Like the boy and his dog thing, who's like, Marler didn't do well in comedy. Bitch, I got paid to do comedy for a fucking decade. Like, what are you fucking doing, dude? Anyway, so I think
that is Shane Gillis. Just like a billionaire.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Sucking at his
job. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. That'd be the best way to get me. No, but it's not. It's just a guy and his dog. But I hope your dog lives forever, and I hope you do too as well. Actually, your dog more so. But no, I think the thing that Kirby used to say all the time was like, hey, man, like, we're getting out of the spring window, and I still don't know. Because then you have to take the mandatory break. You take the mandatory break where it's like, all right, we're going to go recruit high school, and there's like a dead period, and then we're also going to have like, then summer comes back. Because during the summer, the whole time it's like, well, it's 7-on-7s, the QBs are getting work in. It's like, no, it's fucking orchestrated practices from the coach that's telling you what to do. He just can't be there, and that's fine. But to not know who was going to be on your team at that point of the year is a pretty massive, thank you, it's pretty massive, obstacle, I feel like, or like just like, I mean, it's just a negative. It's an overall negative for the coaches to be like, okay, we've coached the season. Cause now too, with the calendar, Mike, you're kind of constantly playing catch up, or at least how you were, where it was like, hey, we just got out of the SC championship game, early signing period's right here. The portal is just open. There's a bazillion fucking things happening. And now we get spring practice and then like not really the end of spring practice. Cause there's no scrimmage. And then everything's got to be fucking televised because Greg Sankey wants all this fucking money and we don't want to put this stuff on tape. And then, oh, by the way, so now we're finally done and it's April and we still don't know who our actual team is going to be when they show up in August for fall camp. That sucks. And there's times where it's been like, it's worked, right? Like there's the Trinidad Chambliss thing is a perfect example. It's awesome that he came in late and was so like, he wasn't just a good player for Ole Miss. He was arguably the best player in the SEC last year. And so I think that there's times when it's positive, but like if you can, I think this is a big positive for college football that everyone, and not just the coaches, by the way, Mike, the team, like that is a very underrated part of this whole thing with the NIL and transfer portal era is like one of the things that we are missing now in college football, and anybody that's played sports, because I know I did in college and I'm sure Boy and his dog did not. But anyway, I want to say that like having a team and like the players on that team and the family and the community and all that kind of shit, like the camaraderie that you have to go through with that team, there are going to be mercenaries now in college football because you have all these like different players that are coming in every single fucking year.
You are a professional comedian.
I absolutely was. So here's the thing. But I think that you kind of lose that with the amount of turnover that you're having. Look at a place like Arkansas, Mike, that had like, they went and got 40 something players, I think, in the portal this year. They lost like 40 something the year before. And then like they've been like in the 35 plus range for several years in a row. That's a lot of new faces to come in. And some of these guys are like, cause you kind of already have the whole thing with freshmen where you're not like hazing. We're not going to say that, but like, you know, you kind of have to earn your dues and all that kind of shit. Well, how many of those guys are sticking around by year three? Like, and like, what is the purpose of being able to buy in if you don't know which faces are still, if the guy next to you in the locker room is still going to have the same fucking nameplate from April to August? And that's, I'm glad they fixed that. I think that's one of the bigger things that needed to be fixed.
Hey, last thing, Wudam, appreciate you for the donation. Marler, what do you think about Silver Fox? Why do Arkansas boosters not want to be good at football? Any thoughts on that?
I did a pretty good job. Yeah, thank you, Razor Bass. You do. And so I love you too. There's not a program that needs, here you go. I'll make it uncomfortable for everybody. You know what we just did to Venezuela? And we went in, got that guy in the middle of the night.
But don't you think it is fair though?
If I'm finish, a Razorback Mike.
Fan, what, you, let me just need say this. Too. If I'm a Razorback fan, why the fuck is the Walmart people and Tyson, who supports the basketball team apparently, why don't these, there's a shit ton of money up there. Why don't they do what the damn Texas Tech guy's doing?
I don't know. I that part I don't know. Let me take a second to talk about myself to answer this question from Bo. To host and open is actually the same thing for a weekend, but I featured in headlines. So anyway, I think the I don't know why they don't want to contribute. I think that they have done a good job with this year's class with Springfield, I don't know. It's not that they don't want to win in football, but I also think that if you are Arkansas, I kind of feel like concentrating on, okay, are we really going to go pour even more fucking resources into football? Or what if just for the time being, and while we get caught up on paying the buyout for Pittman and we get the new coach coming in and we don't want to spend a fuck ton of money just to compete, like, because Arkansas probably has the money to bring those people in, but that's not what Arkansas is. Like, Arkansas as a program is, man, there's no pro teams in this state. Like, when were we at our best? It was 2007 when you had, I know he wasn't the leader here, but Mitch Mustain from Arkansas, Darren McFadden from Arkansas, who was the white kid? Jacob Hester. No.
Peyton Hillis
from Arkansas. It's when you have these homegrown kids that want to play for the homeschool state and go there. And there's like a sense of pride in that. There's also a very real sense of pride, I think, at Arkansas, which is, hey, like, we've been really good at basketball for a very long time. We own track and field and cross country and shit like that. And, oh, by the way, we have probably the most competitive baseball program in America, period. We just haven't fucking figured out a way to win the World Series yet. So I think if you're Arkansas and you have this big pool of money, like, where are we going to spend it? You're so much closer in the other sports that matter to this program. Like baseball matters. Going to Baum Walker Stadium, basketball matters. You went out and made that investment to go get Cal, and you got some of these other guys, and they can be a really good team. Like, those sports also matter to that program. And I think you're so much fucking closer to winning in either of those. That, yeah, it makes sense to me to say, why don't we, like, pump the brakes? Why don't we not pump the brakes, but why don't we just put this on the back burner where it's like, it's still a priority, but it's not priority number one. Why don't we just go win a fucking championship somewhere else? And that starts with the places we're closest to doing so in baseball and basketball. And then let's move on from there. Like, I don't think Ryan Springfield is going to – Springfield Inn Suites, whatever his fucking name is.
Silver Fox.
Is it Silverfield? I'm confident I called him Springfield my entire article on Monday. but I think that, like, you're so close to those other ones. I would go focus there first. Nice, Bo.
Hey.
Yeah, this is gonna shock you, Bo. But I didn't have a hard time speaking for a long time on stage. So I wouldn't say all the hours were good, but yeah, that I don't think that was ever my problem. I actually enjoyed featuring, I think, more. So,
hey, the fishing says your best set yet, and he's an Ole Miss guy.
Is he really? Yeah, bro. Appreciate that. I hope he's fishing, dude. What is the weather like? You're in Nashville, right?
Yeah, it's miserable.
Oh, man. I got up this morning to walk Pepper, and it says feels like 10. Let me just also close with this, Mike. All right. Here's my
19.
Right now?
Yeah. And that's the temperature, but it's like you were just saying, feels like 5, it says.
That's, dude. 69. Like, that's that's all. That's my set, folks. This is what you're,
what a closer.
What irrationally pisses me off more than anything. All right, yeah, Wardam. What irrationally pisses me off more than anything is, bitch, you're still here listening to me talk and you're awake. What pisses me off more than anything is when the temperature comes out and it's like, hey, it's 28 degrees, but it feels like 17. Like, shut the fuck up. And it is 17 then. Like, what are we even talking about? It feels like, then it is 17. And that's the only place that applies to. Okay? Let me be very clear. If you feel like it's 17 in this scenario.
Oh, God. How old do you feel?
That's not what I meant. I was making a joke about women's sports. I know. There we go. All right. We should leave.
All right, buddy. Hey, we appreciate you. I don't know when we'll be back, but hopefully soon. And can't wait to go crazy with you again. You want to plug your handle or shows?
I want no one to talk to me at all on social media for at least 24 hours. Dude, we have been, after that whole thing, we've been watching this show, Traitors, on Peacock.
Is it good?
It is pretty good. But it's just been the wrong time to, you know what I will plug? I'm going to plug stuff that doesn't impact me or my financial well-being at all. But
your butt?
It's freezing cold outside. Everyone's staying indoors. If you're looking for a couple of shows to watch, I'm gonna do like that gay guy from SNL who's like,
Stephon?
Hottest club in the hottest club in Knoxville right now is, yeah, Stephon. Top three shows were watched like recently, last week. His and Hers on Netflix, fantastic. All Her Fault on Peacock, really good. Crazy twist to both of those at the end. Really, really loved it. And then Peacock, Traitors. It's so dumb. It's very like, me and Allie started watching it, and I was like, I don't really care about the Real Housewives. So I'm playing this stupid game. I'm fucking screaming at the TV screen. But it's been really fun. So those are my three recommendations for how to spend your time this week. And I tell you what, if you are feeling like your job is not going well, sue the NCAA and go do another job.
Stephon Marler, that's all. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one. We'll catch you on the next one. Hopefully, probably tomorrow, Steven's out. He has no power. But until then, we'll catch you on the next one.